This is Will's Band of the Week for September 20th, 2020. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Anurag from the Ontario Bureau.
Hello, everyone.
And Jason from the, what are we going to say, East Madison Bureau?
Sure. I'm technically Monona. I'm across the street from East Madison, but we can say East.
People east think side. Of Monona as being East Madison, kind of, don't they? I mean, it's a weird, when you look at the map, it's kind of odd, right? Monona's kind of inside of Madison.
It sure is.
Yeah. So,
and this is the video version. We're all looking at each other, huh?
Yeah. We're not recording it for the podcast, but let's just make a note that we look great, right? We all look great.
We absolutely do.
Jason,
nobody
looks
told me I'm in my PJs.
Jason's in the best rock and roll setting. The rock and roll studio. You know, it's cool because I've seen many of your videos that you've made from there. You know, like if you go to like Jason's vlog, is it a vlog or a vlog?
I think the technical term is vlog, okay. But I'm okay with vlog, or you could say video log.
Whatever you want to call it, you know, if you've seen those, now we're seeing Jason live from on location. It's pretty cool.
This is where
the magic happens, huh?
Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, he's got the drums Wisconsin in the basement. Background, and it just looks totally cool. Totally cool. All right, so we're isolated due to COVID, but we're still... doesn't feel too bad, right? Recording this way?
Not at all. Isn't this how you've always done it?
Well... kind of.
I get lucky and I get to go to Will's house sometimes.
Oh, that's right.
But it's been a while.
Yeah, pre-COVID, you'd come over here. I mean, Barrett came over here a lot. So Chris several times, more than several, I guess, a lot of times. But anyway, so well, hopefully we'll get back to in person at some point. I don't know if we have to play the COVID jingle. Maybe we'll skip a week on the COVID jingle. Well, I do have a news item, and it's not really a news item, but it's a thing that I read that was kind of thought-provoking, and it relates to the indie rock world. Thurston Moore, he did a repost or whatever on Facebook of a story about the CEO of Spotify, and it was actually from a year ago, so I don't know how he dug it out, or some fan of his dug it out, and then he posted it or something. But it said that the CEO... of Spotify is worth $2.5 billion.
Ooh.
And then of course the comment was musicians get like a penny from Spotify. Right? So there's a bit of a disparity.
0.00013 or something.
Well, that's how much the artists get, right? I was thinking about that, and I thought, you see a big number like that and you just think big number, right? You don't really have a concept because the number is so big. It's kind of like Michael Bloomberg, I think, is worth like at least 10 times Trump. And so, Trump's really jealous. He's, But anyway, so here's the thing. I did a little math, and I hope I didn't make a fool of myself. I'm about to make a fool of myself twice if my math is wrong. So somebody, I welcome fact checkers. So this guy's got $2.5 billion. Let's just assume that he got extremely rich and only had $100 million. I mean, that'd still be pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say he's got $100 million, and he decides, I think I've done pretty well. I'm pretty happy having $100 million, and then he gives the rest to the artists. So here's the math. Suppose he chooses 10,000 artists to split the rest of that money with. How much would each of them get?
Is this a virtual learning type thing that we're doing?
I just did the math tonight. So I just thought it was interesting. Okay. With that extra money after the 100 million, he could split among 10,000 artists. Each of them would get $240,000. Is that crazy? I'm like, okay, that's insane, right?
Yeah.
So if you think of, so that was my radical statement, was that capitalism is out of control. Then I don't think that should be controversial, right? I mean, that's just crazy.
I recall seeing a video some time ago in which they tell you how to visualize $1 billion. So this guy compared $1 million to $1 billion, and he said if he walks, the $1 million is equivalent to a length of the football field.
Uh-huh.
And $1 billion is a 1 hour car drive at 90 kilometers per hour. I don't know how much that is in miles per hour. It's a 1 hour drive. That's how you visualize these numbers.
Yeah. Kind of crazy.
It's a very common thing, isn't it? Like, isn't Jeff Bezos like a multi billionaire? And then he pays his workers pennies. So it's the same situation, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, that's just out of control. It's crazy. So I thought I would make that editorial remark. Any other music news or anything? Anything fun?
I saw a cool little thing. Have you ever listened to the podcast Song Exploder?
Mm-hmm. I haven't in quite a while, but I have.
Apparently they're making a Netflix. I don't know if it's going to be a series or what, but it's coming out in October. And I saw in the news today that they're going to be doing episodes, I guess, of. I guess it's going to be some sort of song exploder, but it's going to be visual instead of audio. So it might be interesting. I don't know. The list of musicians didn't look as exciting as it has been in the past on the podcast. But I saw that they were going to be doing an REM song. So at least that'll be worth tuning in for.
That's cool. Yeah, that's a good idea. I think that could be a good concept.
Yeah. This guy who hosts Song Explorer, he's Indian and I can't pronounce his name. Rishi, I forget now. He actually did a podcast called The West Wing Weekly.
Oh, really?
And it was just fabulous. He did it with one of the actors who actually participated in making the series, Joshua Malina. And they did this podcast, and I thought it was, because I'm a big fan of The West Wing, the show, and they did this podcast. I highly recommend it if you're fans of the show.
I've never watched The West Wing. It's one of those shows that's like on the list of, I should maybe watch that sometime. Like The Wire, too. I've never watched that. Everybody says it's great.
Yeah, me either. I know. They're both supposed to be some of the best television ever.
Yeah, The West Wing. Yeah, it's really good, man. You should give it a shot.
Lately, we've been trying to find lighter-hearted things because the world is too, you know, downcast. So we don't have as high of a tolerance for, like, super violent or really dark-type shows.
That's what I mean. Watch the West Wing. It's like anti-Trump, basically.
I would imagine it would be anti-Trump, like, 2 decades before, right?
That's true. Yes.
Yeah, so we watched the show from, not quite from Anurag's Neighborhood, but there's a sitcom from Canada called Kim's Convenience. You ever seen that?
Oh, no, I haven't. Is it good?
It's about a convenience store in Toronto run by a really funny Korean guy. And, it's good, good lighthearted fun. So,
give it a shot.
So, yeah, if you're looking for something, especially after you listen to all the downcast music from Will's Band of the Week, you need a what's it called, palate cleanser? Yeah, you need something to lighten it up after all the dark music.
That's what's on agenda today, right?
A bit, yeah. Well, okay, let's go to the music then. I didn't have any other exciting things.
Oh, I have a couple. I'll share a couple. It's funny how... under lockdown, I actually went to two concerts. And
you did.
When I'm not in lockdown, I can't go to any concerts. So I'm enjoying it. I saw that Nick Cave thing.
Oh, right.
I got an extra ticket and I sent it to Barrett. I remember that.
Yes.
And then I saw the Best Coast that they did for the first album that they had released. They performed it live in their room, essentially. And it was really good. Both of them were very, very good.
Great. The Nick Cave thing looked, I mean, it was beautiful. The photography,
it
showed the piano on the stage, you know, and it's kind of like there's nobody else around.
I was a little disappointed. I thought it was going to be live, but it was pre-recorded for sure.
Right. It was a movie.
Okay. It was still good.
Yeah.
Was the Best Coast thing, was it live?
It was also recorded, but at least they did the whole thing in one room and they did the whole album, basically, the first one. And they just performed it. And intercut in between the songs were the interviews that they did with the two members. So it was really interesting. It was good fun. Yeah, I enjoyed those. So I'm looking out for any lockdown concerts that are happening now. I think that's going to be my thing. I'm not going to be able to go to any concerts.
There have been some bands that have kind of stepped up the production. Like the one that I saw about 3 weeks ago, the Fontaines DC one was really good, really high production value and very much worth watching. Yeah. That's probably the best one that I've seen as far as a lockdown show. There's also one.
I heard really good things about the Guided by Voices one, but.
Oh, right. Yes. I know. It was.
It was a little expensive.
I think it was $25 to watch it.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, God, if this were 10, for sure I would do it. Yeah.
I'm kind of watching what I'm spending during a global pandemic.
Right.
Sorry, Bob.
Right. Apparently it got a pretty good they got a lot of downloads or whatever, purchases for it. And then they released at least one track. I was just, you know, put up on, you know, YouTube or something and I watched it and it was really good quality. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway,
and next time just put it on Twitter. All these concerts that come up, I'd like to see them.
Yeah, we ought to distribute that. I don't do that well with Twitter. It's all I'm erratic on Twitter.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, and it's I sometimes put completely inappropriate stuff up on Twitter, like just, you know, knee jerk political stuff. I try not to be too political, but every once in a while you just gotta like slam.
Yeah,
Trump
sometimes you can't help it.
Yeah,
right?
You just got to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, there was one. There's another live performance by Porridge Radio that's up on somewhere.
Oh.
Played in a church, you know, and kind of they were all spaced apart in an empty, pretty much church, and really, really cool. So, one of my favorites from. One of my favorite new bands from 2020, Porridge Radio. So there we go. There's some suggestions so that people can find some of those live performances. And all right, let's go. We got three of them tonight. And I always like to, you know, we could go with the veterans or we could go with the breakout indie artist. I think we should go with the breakout.
Yeah.
Actually, Jason broke this artist wide open last year, but this is Lamelda. And it's great. I love reading the indie rock critics saying how good this is, and then every time
over this album,
right? And every time I read it, one of those I say, "Well, yeah, but you didn't." Jason was ahead of you by one album.
Yeah, you gave that last year's album like a 7.2 or something. I don't know what they were thinking.
Right? Yeah. So Lamelda, she's from. Texas, right? Some kind of not very big, like a pretty small town in Texas.
Yeah, I think so.
And why don't you reintroduce us to Lamelda, Jason?
Oh, I don't know a lot off the top of my head. I don't even know her name right now. Hannah is her first name, right?
Right.
Hannah Reed,
yeah. And I think she primarily has recorded this album with her brother. In a studio that he's built or something, and I think this album just like sounds beautiful and amazing, and I'm not sure if this is her fourth or fifth album. I still feel like I'm really new to the Lo Melda world, because I just discovered her last album last year, and I think I've listened to the ones previous before that after discovering her last year, but I still feel pretty new to her, so I don't know a ton about her.
Yeah, so she's been, let's say she's been toiling in indie rock obscurity, right?
Yeah, but it seemed like she kind of has been gradually, from what I've gathered, like she's gradually just been sort of bumping up. Like she's been running around with Florist and Frankie Kosmos, I think, on some tours the last few years, and it seemed like she's really been embraced, and she's on Double Whammy also, which I think has a really nice presence for her.
You know, that's so funny that you just mentioned that she toured with Frankie Kosmos and Florist, because those were the two comparisons I was going to make. Not even knowing that, she's got a similar kind
of songs she sung about them too.
Yeah, I think she name drops Frankie Kosmos. Yep. Yeah.
So it's interesting because, her real name is Hannah, and the album is called Hannah. So it's like, you wonder if it's sort of a, I don't know, just thinking about identification, like how you identify, you know.
Like even the songs, there's a song called Hannah Sun.
Yeah.
Hannah Happiest, Hannah Please.
Right.
There's a song called It's Lo Melda.
So right.
It's very like a
lot of references to herself.
Right.
Identity concept record or something.
Right.
I don't know if I might have made this joke the last time I talked about her album last year, but just about every time I put on either one of her albums or Florist, my wife, if we're in the car, she always says, "Is this a new Frankie Kosmos album?" But
And
so even with this one, I had to say no.
Well, I think Jason, you should make the first pick.
Okay, well, I think I'm gonna pick one of the ones that Anurag mentioned. I'm gonna go with Hannah Sun, track number 2. Oh, did I steal yours?
Yes, you did. Don't worry. It's an amazing song. Yes, you should start with that.
I sent you the sun from my hometown and Chicago and Atlanta, sinking at the sight of your shadow on the sidewalk in Spain.
Melda from her new album Hannah.
That is so beautiful.
And she really holds that note out well there. I'm glad you let that play through.
Nice. I think you picked almost the whole song, but that was really, really amazing. The last line, I just love the last line. Hannah, do no harm. That's so cool. Yep, I'm glad you picked that one. That was beautiful.
Anurag?
Yeah?
You said you liked this album. You've already been speaking positively of it. So you want to take the next pick?
I should come to your podcast more often because I'm forced to listen to something that I otherwise won't pick. And so I heard the name Lomelda. I was like, yeah, I've heard of her before from Jason, but I was like, okay, played it. And oh my God, this album just blew me away. So beautiful. Yeah. So should I pick the next one?
Yes.
Okay, let's play Wonder.
Yeah, so that's even a little bit grungy, right? That's as grungy as she gets.
Yep. Yeah, that was my other pick on Rock. So we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah, that was one of my other picks too.
All right, well, your turn.
Yeah, so we've covered two of the top three, according to me. I've got one more. I don't think you guys are going to disagree. Because I mean, I think this was going to actually be my first pick if I were starting. So I'm not even going to say that you stole my pick, but this one's great. Number 10, Hannah Happiest.
Oh,
What did you guys think of my pick?
Amazing.
So good.
Lamelda. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, those are like a lot of the catchier songs, but there's like some pretty nice ballads on there, and there's a couple of like weird, like sort of experimental instrumental tracks that are cool. It's got a lot of nice variety to it.
Yeah, and it's all spaced. Like the tracks we picked are kind of all spaced apart. So,
yeah,
you're right. So it'll be like different stuff interspersed. Yeah,
it is
cool. Very good. Very very worthy.
Two thumbs up from me.
Might crack my top 10 this year. I don't know. I don't want to give anything away.
It seems like it'd be a threat. A threat for the top 10 for sure. The other artists are have to step up their game. All right. Cool. Should we move on?
Excellent. Yes, we should.
Indie rock veterans. Indie rock royalty. The Flaming Lips. They're indie rock royalty, right? I think we've talked about... I'm sure we've talked about every Flaming Lips album that's come out in the past decade, you know, on this podcast. Because we always talk, no matter what, no matter how weird it is or whatever, it's always worth talking about, right?
It's the Flaming Lips. They're weird. You can't help but talk about them, right?
Yeah. And what a career. Like, if you look back at the discography, which I briefly looked at it earlier today, but I haven't committed it to memory. But it just seems like they were sort of a guitar band, and then they had that She Don't Use Jelly hit, and then they had the Soft Bulletin and the Yoshimi, and then they had that album At War with the Mystics. Remember that? It had the Yeah song on it, which was just bizarre. And
interesting trivia. You know, I used to follow you on your previous podcast that you used to do with your wife.
Yeah.
That's where you started this short segment of introducing
the band of the week, right? Yeah,
that was the first time I listened to the Flaming Lips.
Oh, that's so cool!
You were the one who was responsible for my obsession with the Flaming Lips.
Wow, that's amazing. I would never have guessed that. I, of course, don't even remember that we ever talked about
it. Song.
Okay, yeah. So then they had what? Embryonic and a couple others in the last few years.
Yeah, the Terror, which I think is pretty underrated, if you ask me.
I agree. It is.
Awesome. The last couple have sort of fallen off for me. I haven't really paid attention to them.
The last one from just like...
King's Mouth.
Right, that was like Record Store Day last year or something, I think, if I remember right. And
in this decade, that has been my favorite album.
That one was pretty good, Mouth. Yeah. I thought that was... So this one, boy, oh boy, you know, this one goes back to, you know, kind of the balladry, the more ballady type songs in their prime, right? Like some people are saying,
it's
like, if you liked Feeling Yourself Disintegrate from the Soft Bulletin, which is like, that's always been one of my favorite songs by them. And there's a lot of that kind of sensitive ballad stuff on this album. So
the piano is really prominent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
and they've kind of stuck to melodies this time, right? It's like you said, well, it's just, you know, they follow that line from Soft Bulletin.
Well, I think
that's basically what they've done.
And I think that's one of the big differences between this album and the last several is that they're instead of going like for pure sonics, they're going for actual like the songwriting is a notch up, really, I think. But I was telling you guys a few days ago, the first time I listened to this, like one or two times through, I was like, I don't know if I can take this because it's really pretty heavy. It's like if you really, I don't know, if you're not in the right mood, like I was like coming off a not that great of a day and I was just, and I was like, I don't know if I can handle this, you know. And then, but then by the next day and the day after, I listened to it a couple more times, you know. Well, a few more times after that, and it won me over. It's
saw that email, I was like, "Oh no, he hates it!" Like that's I didn't think it was that you were thinking like that. Oh, the songs are really heavy, and you know, they're hard to take right now. I'm just like,
no, that's I didn't because I didn't
Wayne
explain
is talking
it.
About drugs again, and it's just like,
maybe
like,
that's just the one complaint I have. Like each song is like death obsessed or drug obsessed or
yeah. Well, like, why don't we?
I like when they mix it up, but other than that, yeah, this album is really, really good.
We can talk more about it, but why don't we play a track first? Who wants to start? Why don't one of you guys start? I've got a couple I could pick, but I'll turn it over to one of you guys. I'll nominate. Let's nominate Anurag.
All right, let's listen to the first song. Will You Return When You Come Down? Song is just so beautiful.
Yeah,
and I think the rhythm just stays on, right?
Oh yeah,
such a perfect opener.
It is.
Yep,
it is. And that's the thing, that each song is kind of like this only, right? It just deals with the loss. I think he's talking about. I read a blurb saying that he's talking about his older brother who had some car accident or something.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of references to like growing up in Oklahoma with older brothers that are, you know, abuse drugs, and I think Stephen Droz also had that sort of similar childhood, mm-hmm. and so they're kind of dealing with a lot of that like over the course of the album,
and of course Jason, being from Oklahoma too, so you're basically, we were going to talk about that, right? All the barbecues you've had them over for?
Yeah. And we used to get together and talk about our brothers.
Yeah, I call this album predictable, but it's still gorgeous. It's a beautiful album.
I think it's pretty pretty consistent. I was amazed that once I got over my initial fears, and I could put the whole thing on, and it was like song after song has a real catchy hook, and
it does,
you know, a sensitive catchy hook kind of. I think it's their best album since Yoshimi, I'm gonna say.
Wow!
Oh wow!
So
okay,
yeah,
skipped over quite a few.
Right. Well, just for the pure song craft, I guess. And I've always liked the sensitive Wayne Coyne, you know. Then and I do, I agree, you made a reference to this earlier on Rock, but it, you know, it there are so many drug references on this song. Like half the songs are just outwardly about drugs, and it's and that part of it kind of it's kind of like the I don't know, to me it kind of adds to the whole sadness of the whole thing. It's kind of like you know, trying to escape, you know, trying to escape the harsh realities of the world. And I guess that's a lead in, so I'll take the next pick. I thought that a good representation of the album and really good song and also kind of sad too is track 6. It's called Mother, I've Taken LSD. Let's play that, then we can talk about it a little bit.
Mother, I've taken LSD. I thought it would set me free, but now I think it's changed me. It's changed me. It's changed me. It's changed me.
I would say that's another beautiful one, but it's beautiful and sad, right?
He
takes LSD, man. And then it, all it does is he sees the sadness in the world. It's just, oh man,
it's definitely not a God album, huh?
I think it's just like with this album, I don't know, like the last, I just haven't really listened to the last couple of things that they've done. I've just felt like they just sometimes were being weird for the sake of being weird.
Mm-hmm.
And this album just like reminds me of like how great they are, and man, like I kind of missed them, you know. So maybe I need to give the last couple albums a little bit more of a chance.
Well, they're worth listening to, but I just think that the songs are not as good as these, you know. Just somehow they built around really good songs here and added a lot of cool effects and everything, and put it all together. So, like, you could go, see them live, and if they played like most of this album, I think you'd be happy with it, right? Whereas, if it, one of the other more recent albums, if they played mostly those, you'd be like, "Well, wait, why aren't you playing stuff from the Soft Bulletin?" Right?
Yeah, for sure.
So, I think Barrett and Wilson saw them not too long ago. I think they're live set is pretty much, you know, the hits of the Flaming Lips in there.
Yeah, they've always been pretty good about doing that. Like, they're going to play Yoshimi and She Don't Use Jelly and stuff.
Have you guys seen Have you guys seen a live Flaming Lips show? You must have, Jason.
No.
I actually never saw one while I lived in Oklahoma, as crazy as that is.
Huh.
I think I kind of, when I started going to concerts they were, it was like, you know, soft bulletin era.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that they were, you know, out probably touring that for like several years. And then they just were never playing around Oklahoma City, or it was like sort of more of like a secret type thing, and you had to know people
mm-hmm.
to know that they were playing, because it'd be like practicing or a warm up, you know.
So you weren't one of the cool people who knew that. You should have been on that list.
You would think I would have been, but as an early 20-something year old, I hadn't quite cracked the code yet. But so I saw them here in Madison one year.
Did you see that outdoor show that out by the Lion Energy Center and that?
Yep.
So we were there. My wife and I were there, and this is one of my great rock and roll moments. Wayne Coyne walked over us in his bubble. So like we, you know, our hands were on the bubble. That was fun.
That's great.
Have I told you about my Flaming Lips story?
Not
about
sure.
Yoshimi. And I was with our neighbors, our friends, at a cottage, and we had been drinking, and then we found a karaoke machine in the cottage. We put it on, and there was all those standard songs by Billy Joel and Michael Jackson, and then scroll down, Yoshimi by the Flaming Lips. I just stopped everybody. I said, "What? What's this song doing on this list?" I put it on. I thought it was going to be some other song or some other person covering the song, but no, it was the Flaming Lips. And of course, the moment it started, I started singing, and everybody was first staring at me, and then they started joining me. And now, whenever we get together, in fact, we're getting together on Saturday, I know for a fact that everybody's going to play Yoshimi, and they're going to sing along with me, playing and listening to the Flaming Lips.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's a fun sing-along song, really, right?
Yeah. If you think about it, we did the karaoke. In fact, I have a video of it somewhere, too. I'll see if I can put it up.
You'd think that'd go viral. If anything would go viral, that would be it.
At least
Anurag sings Yoshimi. That's great. Jason, now you're holding in your pocket, you're holding your pick.
Oh, yeah, I know. I wanted to do another Mother song, but I don't know if we have that in us. I'm going to go with track 3, Flowers of Neptune. I'm going to keep it middle ground.
Going down so slow.
Yeah, that was under consideration for my pick too.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's great.
If I had one complaint, I would maybe drop a couple of songs.
Well,
it's
maybe
it's a little long in my book.
A little long, maybe late in the album. There's a couple there that maybe aren't quite up, to the level. But I think,
yeah.
Boy, but overall, it's pretty solid, pretty consistent.
Yeah, no, totally.
I agree, Jason. I already have my picks that they could have dropped.
What would you drop?
I would drop Dinosaurs on the Mountain, for sure.
I kind of like that one.
Really?
I don't know either.
I think after listening to the first three, which were, at least the first and the third one, then it just got a little bit too much. Like, it's all about... That's what I mean, that... I think it's an album I'll probably put and then just put it in the background and just, if I'm doing something else, my work or something, and just let it run. But like Yoshimi is something I listen to constantly and all the time, and Transmissions of the Heart also. Transmissions of the... Good Lord. Transmissions from the Satellite Heart. My God, mm-hmm. I'm forgetting names of the albums I listen to constantly.
I even forgot that's about that one, and that's a great one. I think that's the first one I heard.
That's a really good one, too. Yeah, so those I would listen to and pay attention, but this one I would probably just put it in the background and let it just play. So, yeah.
I feel like this one will have longevity for me. Like, I feel like I'm going to keep coming back to it.
Okay.
Aside from a couple of songs, like the, what's the one, You and Me Selling Weed?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like, I like part of that song, but then it goes into this, like, weird, hokey kind of country bit where I'm like,
I actually like that one.
I don't...
See, I like that one more than I thought I would. maybe, like, a couple that are just later in the album, like When We Die, When We're High, and Assassins of Youth. Those are, like, I feel like it's running out of momentum when they get to that point. So,
yeah.
Anyway, I'm very much pro this album. It won me over after that initial... fear. I've probably told I should tell this Flaming Lips story. I've probably told it before, but back about whenever Yoshimi was a pretty new album. So when did that come out, like 2002 or something?
I don't know. 2002,
yeah, somewhere around there. So my uncle, who's no longer living, but he was a huge music fan, but completely a classical music fan. But I would periodically just try to just see if there was any kind of rock music that might interest him at all. So I remember I made a cassette tape of Yoshimi Battles the Pink Robots on one side, and I forgot what was on the other side. Maybe a Lloyd Cole album or something, or some other thing that I liked at the time. But he never listened to rock music, and he listened to Yoshimi, and he sent me back this note. It was probably a good old-fashioned letter or something, you know? No, there might have been email then. I think it was an email. They did have email in 2002, right? he might have used the Anurag phrase. He was completely blown away. Like, he listened to the Yoshimi, and he loved it. And he even bothered his neighbors by playing it really loud on his stereo. So, I mean, that's pretty cool, right, for a classical music fan in that time. Is probably in his middle to late 60s. So, anyway, cool. Yoshimi, they did the job with that.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, sometimes people do have reaction to music that they don't listen to often.
Yeah, right? And if you just decide to immerse yourself, you realize, like how creative it really is. And, yeah.
True.
Yep. Awesome. Okay, we did it justice, right?
Yes, we did.
I think so.
Well over $0 already, and we're going to do it again. So Anurag finds bands that are from Canada, and he introduces us to them. Because I'm like, I never heard of this band, and Anurag is like, well, maybe you'd like them. And of course, I look it up, and yeah, they're from Canada. I mean, not anywhere near Anurag in Canada.
Halifax.
They're from Halifax, Nova Scotia. And I love, this is one of the things I like doing, just kind of learning about geography from bands. But I have been to Halifax, Nova Scotia once. Have you guys ever been there?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've been there.
I've never been out of the country, so no, I have not.
Oh, shit, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got to get Jason out of the
Come
country.
On.
Yes.
Well, Halifax, it's just, it's really, really far east, right? You just keep going.
It's right on the edge.
Yeah, like you go to Boston, and you keep going northeast, and you get to Maine, and you keep going northeast, and keep going and going. You know, Nova Scotia's over there, way east. And Halifax, I don't know. I spent, like, I think less than a day there, but it seemed like a really cool city because it's a seaport town. I don't know if you have more of an impression on Iraq. But
yeah, the first thing is that I took a plane there, and then when it's landing, all you see is forest, nothing else but forest. And of course, it's a big city. It's right on the edge. And we went there because one of our neighbors is from Halifax, and she wanted us to just have a holiday there. So we went there, and we did all the touristy things that one's supposed to do. We went to a fishing village. We went to Beggy's Cove. That's a really big landmark there. And we went to the Titanic Memorial. It's really awesome. Like, you go there, and suddenly, boom, it hits you. Especially when they have a grave for a small kid or a small child over there.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, it really hits you. And then the city itself is really beautiful. But of course, you got to go there in summer. You cannot handle the Halifax winters, I've been told.
Really? Yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. Yeah.
Yep. It's a combination of snow and it being right next to the ocean, of course. So it's not a pretty combination. So all the blizzards and all, they all go through Halifax.
Oh, really? I don't know if I would have guessed. I guess it is pretty far north, so I could see how it could get snow.
Yep.
Anyway, all right, let's talk about the band. They're called Buttes. And the album is called Dalliance. It came out in earlier this year, like February or so. But of course, we didn't know about them until Anurag told us. So what do you know about this band, other than that they're from Halifax?
That's it. That's all I know.
From Halifax, and you heard them. So, yeah.
It's been on my list of albums to just listen to. And when you sent me that email about getting together for a podcast, so that's when I went through my list. I said, oh yeah, let's talk about so I gave it a quick listen, and immediately it struck me how pop rock it was and how it reminded me of Interpol. Did anybody get that?
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. interesting okay. Yeah,
the
now
way
that you mentioned it,
sings and the music, it's just very down. And there's another I was gonna say no. Interpol. That's what it reminds me of, and the songs are pretty straightforward, but the singing and basically the music specifically, I've really been attracted to that sort of music. So yep, this was right up my alley.
All right, let's play a track.
Yep. Oh, I had my list here. Let's listen to number 5, Drifters All.
I float on my back and my mind's just cooling. Motion is skipping across the water. There's pull from the shore, pull from whatever is down this river. Allegiance is just like the sun gone down. Possible. Whoa.
Buttes from Halifax, Nova Scotia. So I want to go back to geography a little bit again. So cool city, right? Really cool. Like if you're a band, yeah, it'd be a cool place to play. It's 10 hours to drive there from Boston. So like Boston, you consider the like way northeastern U.S. Even if you go up to Portland, Maine, or even you go further northeast up to Bangor, Maine, it's still 7 more hours with a border crossing. Jeez. So it's way out there.
It is. It's a different time zone, too.
Is it one more time zone more than Eastern? Yeah. Oh, wow. What do you call that time zone? That'd be a, that's a good trivia question.
Yeah, I have no clue.
Super Eastern?
We actually toyed with the idea of driving to Halifax because we had already done a drive from our home to Orlando, which we thought was going to be simple and easy, and I would not recommend it. It was horrible. But the good thing is the drive to and the drive back, it was spaced by almost 10 days, so we had a good time to recover. And Halifax is about the same distance from my house, about 18, 19 hours drive. But our neighbor has done it, so he's like, kind of drove, and then they kind of stopped in the way. So,
yep, so that's right how I got there by driving. I took a trip with a friend of mine right after college when we both had some time off. And so we just decided to drive. We drove to Halifax, and then I think we drove back. We probably drove one way, you know, through the U.S. and the other way back, the way back through Canada or something like that. You know, went to Montreal and stuff, and it was really cool. But he had an ex-girlfriend from Halifax. So you can imagine, like, that's not a good recipe for a reason to visit Halifax.
No, it's not.
He was trying to find her house, and you know, she had already broken up with him, and I was thinking, I'm not comfortable with this, because it's like he's a stalker, right? Like, he's going to her house, she doesn't even know he's in town. It's like, oh, I want no part of this. He goes up to the door, you know, and I'm like, I'm staying in the car. I want no part of this. I think luckily, like, nobody was home, and we just left.
Wow. Okay, that is
That's my Halifax experience. But I think I remember getting, like, you know, fish and chips or something, you know, some, like, hokey sea town thing, but it was really cool. I just remember thinking it was a really cool place. So Buttes, I'm talking more about Halifax than Buttes. I'm not giving them proper credit.
Exactly.
They don't want to be defined by where they're from, right?
True.
So yeah, so I never heard of them before you mentioned them, Monrog. So that's cool that you always introduce us to fun Canadian artists. And
about this album, I feel the other way we feel about the Flaming Lips. Like Flaming Lips could have knocked down a couple of songs. I wish they had Buttes had added a couple of songs more. It's just like seven
really?
Songs.
I was sort of pleased. I was like, yeah, this is seven songs. That's nice. I mean, it's like. It's still like 30 some minutes. So,
it is, yes. That's true.
Like each of the songs are 4 to 5 minutes. So,
right.
But yeah, I could see you wanting like another song or two.
Yes.
You could have made it a proper 40 minutes, but I'm not complaining because I don't have to slog through those, you know, like two extra songs or something.
Right. For the podcast prep for the proper music journalism.
Yeah.
So, Jason, would you like to make a pick?
Sure. After seeing, I think Will told me, you know, who we were going to be playing, I looked it up on YouTube for some reason, and I started watching a video, and for, I don't know why, but I scrolled down to the comments, and the first comment, I think, down there was, yeah, I like the National, too. It was just like the meanest thing. And I got echoes of the National, but man, I didn't think it that they deserved that. But I thought of like Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah also. Different voice for sure, but still kind of same vibe a little bit with the music. My pick was track 4, Receipts.
Hundred mistakes.
Song.
That's Buttes. Yeah. So they got some good variation of the sound and dynamics. That's what I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a pick, and it might seem obvious. It might be kind of not creative to pick track one, but you know what's cool about track one? It's got driving bass, and I always like to pick the song with driving bass. So
of course you do.
Let's do it.
Yeah, that's why I left it for you.
You knew I was going to take it. You said, let's let Will have that one. It's called The City Loves Me.
This song, that's why I wrote in my email, Will, I think you're going to like this.
you heard that driving bass. Yeah, I'm thinking that if I'm the bass player in this band, you know, and we do that song, I'd be saying, let's do some more of that. We need more driving bass.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Fun pick on rock. Thank you.
Yep. Absolutely.
With the indie rock press the way it is. You know, we sometimes find music from some of the same sources and then it's very fun when, you know, Jason always has his, he's on the pulse of the you know, the underground, like, four-track lo-fi recording community. So you're always going to find stuff that's great that we haven't heard from elsewhere. But Anurag somehow finds stuff too, which is really cool. So, very good.
I do crack journalism. It's called Google.
Yeah, he does a Google for find good band. Oh, man.
He used to have a really good CBC, that's a Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. They used to have this thing called Radio 30, in which every week, I'm going to say, or every 10 days, they would have the top 15, top 20 songs and exclusively Canadian artists. So that was my go-to podcast, but they stopped like 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know why. I've never bothered to find. Yeah.
Okay, so for the listeners, this is just completely smooth, right? Like nothing's happened. But what has actually happened is for about the last, 20 minutes, we had a catastrophic failure. And we were very close to this incredible discussion never seeing the light of day or internet distribution. Yeah, but now it somehow recovered it, I think. Who knows if it'll...
We basically were making notes on... what did we say? We should say that again. We should repeat these stories again.
You guys probably were... Yeah, you guys had you had podcasting gold that was never recovered during the 20 minutes that I was working on this.
Oh, yes.
Ugh. Well, anyway. I'm really glad it didn't get... Because I don't know if I have the psychological, you know, stamina to, like, re-record a whole podcast, right?
Yeah, that's what I was telling Jason. It's 11 p.m. here, and there's no way I'm going to
No, I don't think
this.
We'd start again tonight. But even then, even at any time, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think Lomelda and these guys would all have to become vault selections in 5 years.
Right. We just put them, we put them in the vault right now, and we'd make a note to go back and find them. Yeah. Right. Oh, well, all right. Glad we still have it. Thanks, you guys. It was way, way over $0. I think it's between about 35 and 60 cents, I think.
Nice.
That's what it was worth.
And also, you almost got a heart attack because we almost lost the recording, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But no heart attack. Not yet. I tried to thin my blood with a couple sips of whiskey to prevent the heart attack. Do you think that think that'll help? I don't know.
Were you having whiskey in a mason jar?
I had a beer in a mason jar, and I thought I just poured a little whiskey in there. Yeah, it's a this is some Laphroaig quarter cask.
Oh yeah, I'm familiar with that. Yeah,
I think the standard Laphroaig 10 is actually a little bit better, but it's fun. It's good stuff.
Yep. Water for me today.
Yeah, me too.
Never bad. Water is never a bad choice.
True.
So, well, thanks again. You guys are keeping the podcast going. You know, people go in spurts. Like, we had Chris for several podcasts in a row. And then, I don't know, I got to beg him to come back now.
Well, I can come more often now because tomorrow is my last day at work.
What do you mean your last day at work? Are you getting furloughed? Are you retiring?
No, I'm not retiring. I basically quit my job.
Really?
Yeah, it was time. 10 years just stuck in that same rut. So about a month ago, I decided I got to quit. I got to do something else. So essentially what I'm doing is taking a 2-3 month break. And in that break, I'll be looking for another job. But I just wanted low key to do nothing. So that's what I mean. I'll be doing nothing. So if you want a filler or you want to just call me in, I'll be ready.
Oh, great. Good.
Yeah,
it's a podcasting break, right?
It's a podcasting break, yes.
And Jason, is the daycare up and running fully now?
Yeah, we're running. It's pretty wild, but we're doing it. I'm sanitizing everything all the time. I'm wearing a mask in my own house.
Yeah, it's got to feel a little bit weird. But you can't have little kids can't wear masks, right?
No, the kids that are under two really don't little. Need them. And then we recommend that the kids that are like 2 to 6 wear them, or 3 to 6 wear them. Mm-hmm. And they all do it, because luckily we all have amazing people that come to come to our house.
Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah. And the kids are, I think, they adapt so quickly to these things. They just, they just take it in stride, and I don't know. They have a lot of cute Frozen. That's a cartoon movie for anybody.
Oh, right.
That
yeah.
Know. They got a lot of cute masks out there for the kids. So they're doing good.
That's great. It's one of those things where I think a lot of the resistance is just that people are just uncomfortable with it, right? How it feels and how you feel like you look with a mask on. But once it gets to be the norm, it's not nearly as bad.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's, a little overreacting, right? Don't you think?
Absolutely.
I mean, it gets hot. That's why I had to shave my beard for a little while, because, man, in the summer heat, oof, it was not fun. But now winter's coming. We're going to be wearing like 3 masks around.
Yeah.
It'll be fine. And I don't know. I like it. If I have something in my teeth, I don't have to worry about that.
Right? Nobody can see
it.
Like
a lot of benefits.
Yeah, that's
true,
right.
True. I don't have a problem with masks. I'm okay with that.
So I've still been spending a lot of time in my office, which is at about, 1/4 of the people are actually there.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of, there's a balance, but so when you're there, you're kind of, there aren't a lot of people around, but they still have a rule that if you're not in your actual office, that you wear a mask in all the common areas. So you're walking in the hallway and everybody's got a mask on. It's just, it's the norm. So it doesn't even really feel weird anymore. It did at first, but then there's this also requirement that if you're in your office, you have to have if you're going to not wear a mask, you have to have the door closed, and you have to put a sign up that warns people that you're not wearing a mask.
Not wearing a mask.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So it's pretty funny, because like some people make a, big 8.5 by 10 sheet of paper, and they print it out and make big letters, warning, do not enter, I took a little, the smallest of the Post-it notes and wrote, no mask, and stuck it on my door, and that's it. <It's> like, but the mask world that we live in.
Yep.
My wife's a mask maker. She started out in April. She was sewing masks, and now she's
mine too.
And she's got a bunch at Barrett's Coffee Shop, or she's going to.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, they're gonna sell them there. So maybe she can get in a competition with your wife, Jason. They can have competing masks.
She was making some serious cash earlier in the spring.
Really? That's cool.
When it started up, yeah.
That's great. Yeah, so my wife made them for Trader Joe's. She made them for the school district for the some of their programs. And she's going to have some at Indie Coffee. So
nice.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Maybe they could team up. Our wives could team up.
There you go. She just has to stay 6 feet apart.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Very cool.
Speaking of Indie Coffee, I got to get down there this weekend. My supply is running low.
Got to do that. It's on my route, to and from work. And they've had good, people are out there. People are shopping at Indie Coffee. So that's great. I hope it can maintain. I'm worried about all the restaurants when it gets to be cold, and like nobody wants to be outside, and then they don't also want to be inside. So,
true.
I don't know. We'll have to see. I'm trying to gear up psychologically for like December and January to be being pretty brutal. So
we're gonna have a really mild winter. Don't worry about it.
Let's hope.
Sure.
Yeah, I'm sure there won't be any winter extremes. Of course, there's no extreme weather anywhere. Oh, speaking of which, I wanted to do a shout out to my son Reese in Portland, where the air quality. I just only learned this because I talked to him a couple nights ago. the weather app that I use is called Weather Underground. Mm-hmm. And when you go to the forecast for any particular city, you can scroll down and it has the air quality index. And I don't know anything about this, but I've learned that the higher the number, the worse it is, right? So right now in Portland, the air quality index is 237, which is classified as very unhealthy. Oof. By contrast, yeah. In the Distillery District of Toronto, the current air quality index is 55, which is moderate.
Oof.
So, and I've noticed that, you know, basically between like 40 and 100 for the last couple of days, it's been in like the Midwest, and it's right now it's 237 in Portland. But Reese told me that it was over 500 like 3 days ago.
I saw
ago.
That the other day. Wow. Yeah. I have friends that are in Bellingham, Washington, mm-hmm. and their fire alarms inside their house, like the smoke detectors, were going off.
Oh my
god!
It was
just smoking.
Oh my god! Yeah. That is unbelievable.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah, just videos of them driving around. It's like thick fog. It's so unbelievable.
Yeah.
My goodness.
Well, Reese is hopeful based on the forecast that it's going to start improving. Hopefully, it will. Yeah.
Is it just this year, or is this is a common occurrence?
Well, no, this is the worst that they've had fires in the Western
U.S.
So
it's just worse this year.
I think Reese said that three.
I feel like it's almost yearly, but
yeah,
this
he said
year
3 years
really
ago. 3 years ago, it was pretty bad, but still, like way, like not nearly as bad as this year. This is like the worst it's been.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was looking at different places, right? So I looked at, after I looked at Portland and looked at Madison and Toronto and a couple other cities, like where my parents are and all that stuff. Then I look, because I love Glasgow, I looked at Glasgow. You know what Glasgow's index, air quality index was? 2.
No idea.
Oh, it was 2. And then I looked today, it was a 1. It's like as clear as weather can be. Which kind of really doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me because they have, you know, it's there's still kind of some industry there. So I think maybe if it's rainy, then it washes away. Because Reese was telling me that it, they had rain in the forecast and that was supposed to really help the air quality. Maybe it just drives all the particles down to the ground. I don't know. I don't know the science. But all right, what's great now is that after we almost lost the podcast completely, we came back and then we blathered on in the tradition of the podcast way longer than the listeners would want, right? They were like, True. Okay, you guys, why didn't it would have been better if it got cut off and you never came back?
We can probably announce now that the people who stayed will each be getting $100 each, right?
This should probably be one of those with the code word that Jason would always get the code word.
Yeah. Yeah, we need a code word. I could send somebody some Painted Blonde download codes or something.
Okay, let's do that. You get Painted Blonde download codes if you can come up with this code phrase. And what is it going to be? Jason, why don't you pick the code phrase?
Oh, no. Let's see. I'm looking around there. How about Orange Amplifier?
Okay. Amplifier. That's it. Orange Amplifier. Do you have an orange amplifier?
I got 2.
Really? Because I was looking at the Terror Bass. That's the amp that Protomartyr uses. A Terror, you know, those they look like a lunchbox, and they're super powerful.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get something different, but I think they're pretty cool.
I have a couple of smaller ones, but they are pretty loud for how small they are.
And that doesn't surprise me.
Pretty resilient amps. I've had them forever.
Yeah, they make some cool stuff. That's fun. Very fun.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having us. I'm glad
yeah.
we avoided a disaster.
Exactly.
Yeah, we did. We did, and we're recording this on Thursday, which is great because I have time to edit it now. You know, when we do the recordings on Sunday, it's like, oh, God, I got to get this done. I got to do all the editing. And not because you guys are always smooth, you know, but I always make tons of mistakes, so I have to try to make myself not look terrible.
Yeah.
So, yep. All right, let's say goodnight. Thanks, you guys. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Wills Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.